Negotiators for the House and Senate are still trying to resolve differences that have stalled a bill to reform the nation's intelligence-gathering apparatus. Whether a vote will take place next week is uncertain. The White House says it supports the reforms, but the president has faced criticism from supporters of the bill. They say he hasn't done nearly enough to push for the bill's passage. NPR's Don Gagne reports.
It's not that the president doesn't like to use the bully pulpit in order to get what he really wants. Recall how he traveled the country to aggressively promote tax cuts. Here he is at a speech in New Orleans in 2002.
If people have more money to spend, it means somebody has got to produce more for them. And the producers then need to hire people. It's economics 101. Except sometimes people in Washington haven't taken the course.
Notice the fiery rhetoric with a touch of ridicule aimed at his opponents mixed in. Notice, too, that it contains a very specific reference to what is at stake and what is to be gained by tax cuts. Compare that to the very general nature and the muted tone when the president was asked this week about the logjam over intelligence reform.
I believe the bill is necessary and important and hope we can get it done. Next week, and look forward to talking to Speaker Hastert and Leader Frist here before the week is out to express to them why I just told you in public I'm for the bill again.
And that's the way it's been on this issue for the president. The words are there, and the White House insists there is plenty of work going on behind the scenes. But Mr. Bush has given no speeches on the topic as the issue has come to a head. And there's been no big public event to ratchet up the pressure, to argue explicitly that intelligence reforms will make America safer. And there's still no deal and no demand by the president for an up or down vote. Republican Congressman Christopher Shays of Connecticut suggests the president could settle things by making a personal visit to negotiators.
I think that if the president literally came to our conference and spoke to them, that you'd see more than a majority that would support this bill. So it is a mystery to me why we haven't seen a more forceful presentation to the general public.
The tricky part for the president is that the obstacles to passage are within his own team. General Richard Myers, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has only today removed his objections. He had been worried that certain aspects of the reforms could have affected military readiness. That, too, is a concern voiced by House Armed Services Committee Chairman Duncan Hunter, a California Republican. The president did say in a press conference right after winning re-election that he has earned political capital and that he intends to spend it. But Professor David Rohde of Michigan State University says Mr. Bush may have made the calculation that there are more important battles than this one coming.
So he has to weigh how much he's going to pressure members of his own party on this issue when he may need to pressure them on other issues later on, like Social Security reform, which he regards as a high priority, like international affairs, if he wants to think about doing something else beyond Iraq, like additional tax cuts.
Again, the White House says the president is working this. He spoke with House Speaker Dennis Hastert and Senate Leader Bill Frist by phone yesterday and had some lawmakers up to the White House today, Press Secretary Scott McClellan.
The president is working to try to bring everybody together so that we can move forward and get this intelligence reform passed.
So the approach is mostly behind the scenes, and indeed that may in the end turn out to be an effective way to go. But in the past, on issues such as Medicare reform, the president has played hardball and put big public pressure on Republicans to get behind him. The approach this time has prompted questions as to whether Mr. Bush really does want to see intelligence reforms, and whether the ambivalence he demonstrated toward the 9/11 commission when it was doing its work extends to congressional action on the commission's recommendations. Don Gagne, NPR News, Washington.